Hello, everyone, and welcome to MITRE's Knowledge-Driven Podcast, or more appropriately, welcome to another edition of the Aviation Industry Update. Today, I'm joined once again by Michael Wells and Bob Brentz. Would you guys like to introduce yourselves?
Yeah, thanks, Cameron. I'm Michael Wells. I'm an economist, and I work in the Transportation Innovation Center here at the MITRE Corporation.
And hello, I'm Bob Brentz. I'm an aerospace systems engineer working in the operations streamlining department within the MITRE Corporation Center for Advanced Aviation System Development.
So when we talked back in February, one of the topics we discussed was the arrival of the new COVID vaccines and their expected impact on aviation. Now, several months later, it seems like many Americans have been vaccinated and are starting to go out again. So, is air travel doing better now?
Well, I think the short answer is yes, it is. Kind of anecdotally, you probably seen news reports about more people flying and maybe even that some airlines have had actually problems accommodating the recent surge in passengers because they just literally hadn't called back enough of their employees to work to handle somewhat unexpected passenger numbers, more passengers than they expected to see. And so, of course, you know, we're a very data-driven organization. So if you look at the data, it does confirm these kind of news reports. But it tells kind of a more nuanced story that we have a little ways to go as well. So I guess specifically, I'm thinking of data we looked at for the month of May. It shows that, U.S. flights and passengers were about 70% of their pre-COVID levels. That's kind of the way we've been tracking it, kind of as a percentage of what it would have been, a couple of years ago. Now, 70% is by far the best we've seen since 2019, when this whole thing, right before this whole thing started. But of course, 70% is still 30% below where it was before. So, there's a little ways to go. I think some of this remaining slack is attributable to international travel still being very low. But there's room for domestic demand to recover as well.
And this might seem like a wild connection to make, but does it seem like the economy overall is bouncing back in that same vein?
Well, Cameron, basically, yes. The most recent gross domestic product data certainly seems to suggest that the economy is recovering. Real GDP grew by 6.4% during the first quarter of this year. So in a normal year, 6% growth would be considered really phenomenal. However, it's important to remember that the economy is also coming back from a big drop in activity a year ago. So we would certainly hope to see some kind of big growth numbers until we get back to those pre-pandemic levels.
Yeah, I guess that distinction about the drop-off because of the pandemic versus where we're trying to go back to is pretty important to keep in mind. So maybe in that same way, is the GDP getting close to or back to pre-pandemic levels?
It's close, Cameron, but not quite there yet. So again, as of the first quarter of this year, which is the latest data available, kind of the level of GDP, which is not something that usually gets the top line news, but it's certainly part of the press release, was still a little bit below what it was in 2019. But it was really, really close. I forget the exact numbers, but a good bet might be, I think that by the time the second quarter data are in, which should be available shortly, they're probably going to show that the total value of U.S. goods and services, which is GDP, has slightly surpassed their value at the end of 2019. But to be clear, that's just kind of a guess on my part. So don't take that to the bank.
So I have to ask about, inflation. I hear on the news that prices have increased by more than usual over the past year, or like I mentioned, there's just not as much stuff being made or can be made. And I've heard economists saying that it's only temporary. Maybe you guys can elaborate on that?
Well, Cameron, we can try to explain it, but it's not clear how well anyone completely understands what's going on. And we're certainly not the experts, but what we can say is that if you look at the detailed data, two things are going on, which may suggest that this is a temporary phenomenon. One of those things is that prices actually fell on average during the pandemic, really due to a lack of demand for some things, right? Prices for hotels, rental cars, airfares, they all fell. So some of what we're seeing now are those prices simply bouncing back. And if you look at the details, you see that the biggest price increases currently are for either A, products or services whose prices fell last year, like airfares, et cetera, or B, products or services where the whiplash of the pandemic caused unpredictable shortages. A classic example of these shortages is microchips. Everyone was buying so much home electronics during the lockdown that now there's a shortage of microchips. And this is causing the price of some things that use microchips to rise.
Oh, you don't have to tell me. I was in desperate need of a computer, a new personal computer over the pandemic, and this certainly made prices go a little higher than I wanted them to. I guess in that same vein, does that mean that these prices are a one-off thing, or is this going to continue?
I mean, we can't say for sure, honestly. I mean, there's a lot of factors at work. There are things that could lead it to, you know, to continue. But I guess, you know, our takeaway, or certainly my takeaway, you know, is on the face of it, I'd just say it's too soon to worry yet, right? Because, you know, as Bob explained, most of these recent price increases, you know, can be explained as things you would expect due to the pandemic recovery. So I'm not worried about inflation yet. It doesn't mean we won't have it, but I would say that, you know, I'm personally I can explain these data. And so I'm not panicking yet.
Now, our listeners may be surprised to know this, but this is an aviation industry update, and I feel like I've taken us on a wild tangent. So if I can bring us back to aviation, I think you said before, data shows passengers and flights seem to be on their way back to normal, kind of going along with that, you know, one-off prices and getting back to pre-pandemic levels. Is there anything else related to the recovery that we should know about?
Well, yes, definitely. In our previous aviation industry updates, we talked about how COVID-19 posed severe challenges to the airlines and the rest of the industry. You know, suddenly there was a surplus of available airplanes. Pilots and crew were being laid off, and many gates were not being used at airports across the country. Now it seems that this has offered an opportunity to some of those hardy entrepreneurs who were looking to start their own airlines. According to Aviation Week, there are over 30 new airlines beginning operations this year, and that's a worldwide number. So now keep in mind, this is taking place as the industry overall is still in recovery mode. Some small air carriers even went out of business last year, but yet some see opportunity in that situation.
I think you just said 30 airlines worldwide, right?
Correct. Yep.
So can I assume some of those might be in the U.S. as well?
Yeah, that's a good assumption, Cameron. Yeah, I mean, currently two of these startups are, and actually both of the ones, at least that I'm aware of, began service a couple months ago. One is a startup called Avelo. It has its initial schedule, you know, it's kind of focused out of the Hollywood Burbank Airport in Southern California. And it's, you know, it's mainly serving smaller leisure destinations. It's a really pretty small operation right now. But again, kind of maybe the novelty is just that, as Bob said, that it, you know, started up during the pandemic, or at least the pandemic recovery, I guess. And the second startup is one called Breeze. It's just starting with a slightly larger but still modest network of smaller cities, destinations in the south and east of the U.S. And, you know, and both of these airlines are kind of somewhat in the model of the so-called low-cost carriers or LCCs. They're offering point-to-point service at reduced prices to these kind of smaller and often secondary airports. But, you know, in a sense, Breeze and Avelo are not so much competing directly with the larger network carriers, but maybe rather seem to be trying to capture a niche in the market by serving some of these smaller cities as well.
Yeah, I'd be curious to know, I mean, they may be smaller carriers, but that's still trips that other airlines might not be getting. Do major airlines see them as competitors?
Now, that's a good question. We haven't heard one way or the other, but I think the bigger question is whether or not they will make it over the long run. You know, they seem to be getting a lot of kudos for seizing the opportunity to obtain aircraft pilots and gates at good prices, but they still have to fill their seats with passengers. Now, that's something we'll be watching over the next year or so to see, you know, if they've actually found that winning formula or not.
All right. I mean, I always appreciate how fast and yet brief we can always be. Is there anything else we should keep in mind, or you think we're good until our next update?
Yeah, we've got so much to talk about. I think we can't fit it all in. So I think we'll have to save it for the next update.
Yeah. There's always things to add, but that's it for now.
Cool. So it sounds like we're going to have a lot of follow-up questions for you in the months to come. As always, a thanks to MITRE and the Knowledge Driven Enterprise for making this podcast possible. And a huge thanks to you guys for taking the time to share all these fun aviation industry updates with us.
Thank you, Cameron, for taking the time to interview us. It's always our pleasure. And yes, thank you to the listeners as well.
Yes, thanks, Cameron. It's always a pleasure to talk with you about the aviation industry.
And also, I guess I don't do this enough, but anyone who's enjoying this podcast, please thank you so much for listening.